Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for letting us be broadcast through WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, and through In His Sign Catholic Radio. Today, I want to know if any of you are interested in some miracle stories, or even better, how can you get a miracle in your own life? Like, what is there a secret to this? What do we need to do to get our prayers answered? Or the other side of the question is, why won't our prayers be answered? Why are those other people, they get these miracles happening to them, or they get their prayers answered? Is there something wrong with what we are doing with the way we approach our prayer life or our relationship with God? Now, I'm not trying to guarantee that you're going to get a miracle, though we know, you know, through Kathy McCarthy's ministry, many people have had miracles, right? We can see daily miracles in our life when we live to see another day, right? When we have the sun shining like it is so brightly, and so we have this great weather that we, you know, have our health, we have our finances, we have our, you know, family. There's many things to be thankful for, but what about those whose health are not so good? What if they have cancer? What if they have financial difficulties, marriage difficulties? What about them? What about us? How can we get our prayers, our life back together again? Well, I want to share with you here a saint of today, Father Solanus Casey. He's actually blessed, and he was actually known as a failure who succeeded. And so what I want to share with you today is some of the miracle stories that occurred through Blessed Father Solanus Casey. Now, blessed means he only had one that's approved by the church so far. He needs a second one that would make him canonized or become a saint. However, there are still countless, if not hundreds, of various miracles that I do want to share. I'm not going to share 100, but I have like a list of 30, maybe 40 or 50 here. And so I want to go through some of these stories and give you all hope. So, for instance, if any of you are having any cancer or any kind of tumor, whether it's breast cancer, abdominal cancer, let's say, you know, somebody that's blind, someone who has problems with paralysis or pneumonia or problems with alcoholism, well, this particular saint, well, actually blessed, I should say, I can't canonize him already, but my point is we're waiting for the church to canonize him. And so maybe if you're one of those people who takes heart from this program and the words of our Lord through Scripture, maybe, who knows, if you will be the one that would have that without a doubt miracle in your life because of the help and prayers, the intercession of Blessed Solanus Casey. Now, with that said, I'm not saying that he doesn't go we're going bypassing Jesus. No, of course not. But what we learn through Scripture is that we could bring it, our intentions from these holy ones, these holy saints, to bring it up the chain to Jesus, because he's the one Lord and Savior. He's the one that is the one that will bring the healing and offer our prayers to God the Father. And so that's, we're going through the right chain of command, so to speak. So we're not like bypassing Jesus. We're going through his saints, especially like the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, the Apostles. And here are some of, you know, other saints, but here is one, Blessed Solanus Casey. So before I go any further, let's start off with the Our Father prayer like we usually do for each of these programs. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you're new to the program here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, again, what I wanted to just emphasize, what we do here is really try to understand how the Lord really gave us his love and his mercy. And here as a physician, I'm not a priest, I'm not a deacon, you know, I'm not a theologian or philosopher. I'm just one of the guys in the pew, so to speak. However, you know, I have this experience as a prayer warrior. Specifically, I belong to the Order of Carmelites, and some of you may know some of those saints. Carmelites are literally prayer warriors, okay? And so some of the famous saints, like one of the famous saints, a priest, he's a doctor of the church. His name is St. John of the Cross, and then a couple of nuns that are famous who are also doctors of the church is Teresa of Avila and Thérèse Lisieux, or also known as the Little Flower. And, you know, I belong to the lay group. It's also called the Secular Carmelites. And so what we do is we really focus on the best weapon we have, is called prayer. And I get that quote from another saint. His name is St. Padre Pio. He says, prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. So that's why I would like to start off with the sign of the cross, and hence the name of this program, signed, right, sealed and delivered. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we've got the Holy Spirit through baptism. And if you're a Catholic, you're confirmed by being sealed with the Holy Spirit, with all the gifts, you know, that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. And how do you know if you got the gifts? You'll have not only those seven gifts, you'll have the 12 fruits. And then also here in this program, I try to help emphasize the delivered part when we pray the Our Father, like deliver us from evil, or another translation is deliver us from the evil one. So any of you who are being plagued, being afflicted, being harassed, being vexed by the evil one, by praying the Our Father and other prayers, you can literally self-deliver. In other words, free yourself, because it's your body, your mind that's being harassed, afflicted. So you can really live a full, abundant life that you want to live. And that's only through God's grace. But then here's the question. How come there's the prayers that we pray are unanswered? And I'll get into that in the second half of the program. But first, I want to lay out to you the prayers that have been answered by this blessed Father Solanus Casey, who seems like an abject failure, okay? And to the point where he became a massive, honored priest in the Archdiocese of Detroit. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me just give you a background who this father is, or who Solanus Casey is. Now, originally, you know, his name was Bernard Francis Casey. So he went by the name Barney, of all things. So I'm not talking about some stuffed character named Barney, or, you know, back in the day of, those TV show, the black and white, we have that Barney guy. Any some of those police sitcoms, there's a guy named Barney, you know. I'm not talking about that, but this guy, Bernard Francis Casey, he was actually the sixth child of 16 children. He was born to immigrant parents from Ireland, and when they came here, they left Ireland after the Great Famine. And so his parents actually met in Maine, and they married in Salem, Massachusetts. And later on, they settled in Wisconsin. And so they had a very simple, they grew up, when they had children, they grew up as a very devout Catholic family. And what do I mean by devout? Well, they prayed daily. They prayed the rosary. And remember, the rosary is not prayers that are said like mumbling or vain prayers. They're actually scripturally based. Based on the prayers of the Our Father, right? That's Luke and that's Matthew, and the prayers from Luke chapter 1. And it's from the perspective of the Blessed Mother's point of view. And so they prayed the rosary and they went to Mass. They actually had 10 boys there. And they actually had their own baseball team called the KC9. So Barney actually played catcher. And they were poor to the point where that he actually caught the ball with his bare hands, of all things. So anyway, so he grew up in Wisconsin, and at a very early age, I think at the age of 12, he had a calling to the priesthood, or he felt the nudge. And so actually in 1883, before turning 13, he spent a few weeks at a church called St. Patrick's in the city of Hudson, Wisconsin. So any of you out there from Wisconsin, this is where I met my beautiful wife out there when I went to medical school. So he grew up there in Wisconsin, and what happened was he got instruction for First Holy Communion, and he felt the Holy Spirit stir within him, and that's where he had these lessons about the Bible. And when he attended midnight Mass, he secretly wondered whether he would be a priest or if he could be a priest. And that's when he was 12, just slightly before he was 13, okay? So it wasn't until age 21, so 8 years later, that he actually entered the seminary in Milwaukee, St. Francis de Sales Seminary. He studied for the priesthood, but for some reason, the classes were mostly in German, and he grew up in an Irish Catholic family, and so he had a very difficult time understanding what was going on. So they thought he wasn't smart enough. And so he couldn't make it through. And so when he was in there, one of the spiritual advisors told him that he should just go check out, you know, other religious orders. And so he went to the Jesuits, he went to the Franciscans, thinking about, you know, writing to the Jesuits, the Franciscans, and the Capuchins. And they welcomed him, but what happened was he asked his mom and his sister to pray a novena, which is a nine-day set of prayers, just like what the apostles and the Blessed Mother was told to do after Jesus ascended into heaven. Those 9 days after, you know, before they received the Holy Spirit, that's called a novena, those 9 days of prayer. So they decided to pray a novena that would end up on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And so after they prayed the novena, Barney, you know, this is Bernard, distinctly heard the Blessed Mother speak to him, and she only said three words. She said, "Go to Detroit." So any of you out there from Michigan or Detroit, so here's a blessed who is going to be a saint one of these days, that, again, someone you can root for. So, again, you know, I met my wife out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And here, this guy, this blessed was from Milwaukee and, you know, very German-oriented, right? It's a beer town and so forth, right? You know, they Miller Beer, Pabst, Schlitz. You know, in fact, if I remember right, I think they closed down Pabst beer now. They don't make it anymore. So, you know, a lot of, you know, German influence there with the bratwurst, beer, and so forth. But anyway, so he goes to Detroit, and that's where the Capuchins are headquartered. And they're still headquartered. Now, this was, you know, when they said this prayer, this was, you know, it in the fall of 1896. So he goes to Detroit. He literally hears the Blessed Mother's voice, okay? And without question, he goes, but this is during the winter he goes, and he goes through a snowstorm for 3 days, and you know how that snowstorm is, right, through the Great Lakes, especially going to Detroit. All right, I mean, like one of the worst snowstorms I've ever been in was in Milwaukee when I went to medical school, and I literally remember that week, it was averaging minus 20 degrees wind chill. And the one particular day, minus 20 degree and wind chill, but it got as low as, I think, the 60, minus 60 degree wind chill. It was ridiculous. Anyway, 3 feet of snow and just kept on piling on. But I can just imagine here, he's going through this snowstorm, arrives there in 3 days. He arrives at the doorstep of the monastery. When? On Christmas Eve. And so... And that's very important to know because, again, like, I don't know if you know who the saint is on Christmas Eve. It's kind of in the name, Eve. So it's the Saint Adam and Eve. That is the saints of Christmas Eve because Adam and Eve are, you know, they came, of course, they're our first parents. But Jesus and Mary is considered the new Adam and Eve in that sense. And so the next day, Christmas, is when we have the Blessed Mother giving birth to Jesus, so who is considered the new Adam. So anyway, he was exhausted from the trip. He's at the doorstep, and he falls asleep, but he later awakens up by the sound of bells and all the singing and all the incense, you know, the strong, pungent sense of incense, and he's just overcome with joy. He gets up from his nap, and he joins the procession at midnight mass, and that's what changed things. And if you remember, when he was already determining what, you know, if he should be a priest or not, he heard the initial call. Remember, it was on Christmas Eve, and think about it, that's like a great present, isn't it? Like, don't you recall, like, as kids, like, that you can't wait, you know, just on Christmas Eve, like, when Santa is going to show up, what gifts are going to happen the next day, and so forth. And so this is the point where, you know, he also receives this kind of insight on Christmas Eve. And so he goes into the seminary, and, you know, and he's able to go through it, but they make him what you call, they give him, they clothe him with the brown habit on January 14th. So, you know, he comes in December 24th. In January 14th, 1897, they clothe him with the brown habit that we're familiar with, the Capuchins, right? You know, I think that's the group of priests that made Cappuccino famous, I guess. He names himself, or he was given a new name after a Spanish missionary to Peru by the name of Saint Francis Solano. So he was a Franciscan priest. So they gave him that name because that Franciscan priest loved the poor native children, and he loved to play the violin. So they called him Solanus instead of this saint who is called Saint Francis Solano. So that's how he got his name, Solanus. All right. And, you know, he studied, but they noticed that he could only really take a simple profession of vows, and that's called a simplex. So he, you know, he had average or passing marks. So that's why I said in the beginning of the program here that, you know, he's known as a failure who succeeded. Okay, and they really didn't allow him to preach. They didn't allow him to pray the Mass, to offer the Mass. They didn't allow him to even give confession because they didn't think he knew the doctrinal ways properly. And so, you know, he did become a priest. He did have that solemn profession of vows with his class, even though he had quote-unquote average or passing marks. But again, he was literally just would be considered a simplex priest. So he couldn't hear confessions. He couldn't preach because any doctrines. And the thing is, he never showed resentment or disappointment. These were seeds of humility. And he had a really good attitude that he always resigned himself to God's holy will. So I'm saying this because his prayers weren't answered, okay? That in other words, that he didn't have the full privileges like the other priests of offering Mass, hearing confessions, preaching, and he just accepted the role that he had as a simplex priest. And so he basically became a doorman and a sacristan, a person who would help prepare things for the Mass, would take care of things in the church. And so he was particularly a doorkeeper, also known as a porter. And he became a porter at the different monasteries in New York and Detroit, and he would speak to a lot of people. He's very friendly, very approachable. He'd keep a notebook of prayer requests and certain favors. And what happened, there were thousands of physical and spiritual favors that were recorded during his lifetime and fulfilled. And so the one that actually led to his beatification was from a person by the name of Paula Medina Zarate. So I don't know if it looks like the word karate. So I don't know if it's pronounced Zarate or Zarate. But this was, she was healed in September 2012. And she was a Panamanian school teacher and a catechist. And she was born with a genetic disorder of her skin called ichthyosis vulgaris. Ichthyosis. Some of you may realize the word ichthys is a Greek way of saying fish. It's, you know, that fish symbol that we might relate to Christians. You know, that it really says, it's really a symbol of ichthys, of the word. It's an actual, like, abbreviation for the Jesus, okay? And it's also a symbol for Christians, you know, the fish. But anyway, so what this dermatologic, this skin disease is that she inherited, it's like fish scales, and it's very painful. It's scaling, it's cracking, it bleeds. There's no known cure. And so what happened was she went to Solanus Casey's tomb in Detroit. The place there is called St. Bonaventure's Monastery. And she prayed for other people. She had 14 intentions for other people. And when she was praying for others, what she heard next was an interior voice asking what she needed for herself. And she obliged, and she said, you know, healing for her arms and legs. So imagine that. She didn't go there really for herself. It was for these 14 others. And yet, after praying for those 14 others, she was prompted to ask what she needed. So this reminds me that we should, you know, ask, right? And we should seek, and we should knock. And just like Marta and Tara in their program right ahead of mine, we're talking about, right? We should ask, seek, and knock. And that's Matthew 7:7. And so here she did seek help for those 14 others. And then in a twist, it was this interior voice that asked what she would want. And so what had happened, she then felt an intense heat throughout her body. And within hours, the scales, remember the skin disease that she has, it's like fish scales. That's why they called it ichthyosis vulgaris, like it, as if it's vulgar, but also vulgar can mean like a common folk, you know, the common way. Anyway, within hours, the scales fall off in sheets, and it's not bleeding. You know, like if you had a scab, like if you pick on it, or if it gets hooked on something, or it can just fall off if it's ready, if it's totally healed on its own, it doesn't hurt. But if it somehow snags on something, or you just try to peel it off, it hurts. It can cause re-bleeding. Here, these scales just fell off on its own in sheets. And the skin regenerated into normal appearance. She went to go see her Panamanian dermatologist and other specialists in the U.S. And, you know, they performed biopsies on her skin, and they found no medical explanation of how she was totally healed. So, of course, they had to go through a medical board review, consultants with theologians, you know, go through approval of the cause of canonization or sainthood. And so Pope Francis did authorize the decree to have him beatified, and he was beatified on November 18, 2017, on Ford Field in Detroit, where there were 70,000 people. And so that lady, Paula Medina Zarate, she had a relic of Solanus, of Father Solanus Casey, during the liturgy. And so far, that's the sole miracle that happened. And I want to go through the other miracles here. We're approaching the bottom of the hour. And so if anybody wants to call in after what you've heard so far, or want to share any prayer requests, or just tell us where you're listening from, or how are you doing, to please call in here to WTMR 800 AM. And the number here is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. And so we're going to take a break, and then I'll come right back, and I'll share some of the other miracles that's not officially used for his beatification or canonization, but these are one of hundreds. So I'm going to give a list of 10, 20, maybe 30. But I will also go into why our prayers aren't answered and trying to give you some insights on what not to do so your prayers have a better chance of being answered. All right, so let's take a break, and then we'll be right back here on Sign, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM and In His Sign Catholic Radio.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Thank you for joining me here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And if you want to call in, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to tell us what you think of the show, please call in 856-962-8178. I'm talking about the Blessed Solanus Casey, because today is his feast day, July 30th. And he was, again, known for being a simplex priest, who really didn't seem to have the intelligence to preach, to give sermons, to give confessions, but they made him a simplex priest, and he became a sacristan, taking care of the sacristy, the church, and also the altar, getting things prepared there for Mass. But also he was the doorkeeper, the porter. And so he would be the porter in Detroit and also in New York. He many times he would help the sick. And on average, anywhere from 150 to 200 people would see him for help. They would ask for blessings. They would ask for prayer, for him to pray over them. They would ask his consultation. And so he was the instrument of many cures and blessings. And so what I'm hoping is that those of you who are listening will learn more about this saint. Will this will inspire you to look him up, to actually pray. When we say pray to a saint, we're not saying to worship. No, it's the old English way of saying pray thee. Like, we pray thee, we hear thee, we beg thee, we ask thee. So when we're praying to a saint, we're not worshiping. We know that Solanus Casey is a human, just like the Blessed Mother's a human, St. Joseph's a human, the apostles are human. They're not God, of course. We don't believe they're God. But what we do is we pray thee, we beg thee, we ask thee. Since they made it to heaven, and they showed how holy they are here on earth, they have an inside that they go to Jesus, who is the one and only mediator. And he's the one. Jesus goes to God, the Father, and then passes on this intention and also prays and does sacrifice for us, right? So anyway, Father Solanus Casey, I shared one miracle that he was the cause of his beatification. So let me go into some of the other different miracles that was reported, but it didn't go through the rigors of medical examination and the cause of canonization. But nevertheless, these are real, quote-unquote, miracles, especially to those people that received it. It may not have been certified for the cause of canonization or cause of sainthood, but nonetheless, I bet if you would actually hear or meet or read about these specific individuals, these were real healings. Okay, all right. So let's start off simply. What about children? Do you know anyone that's born with a club foot? It may not seem like an issue. I mean, I used to work as a cast technician, volunteering and then working for the Shriners Hospital for crippled children, and I would help the orthopedic surgeons with babies who had club feet. So anyway, Solanus Casey was brought. They brought to Solanus Casey a baby, Carol, with a club foot. And he held the foot, and he blessed the foot. And the next time they went to the medical examination, the baby's foot was no longer clubbed or deformed. You know, it's like turned inwards. You can't really walk that way. You need, you know, either surgery, but usually they do it with casting. And so the child grew up with no issues whatsoever. But on the very next medical examination, the foot was totally normal. Didn't need any kind of intervention, no long-term casting, braces, surgery, nothing. Now, what about, do you know anybody that has any tumors? Here's a story about an abdominal tumor in a person by the name of Arthur Rutledge, and this was in the Detroit hospital. This Arthur Rutledge, he worked for the fire department. I don't know if that means he was a fireman, but he worked for the fire department, and he used to volunteer at the soup kitchen, and he was about to go get surgery. So are any of you out there about to undergo surgery? Maybe you can ask Father Solanus Casey for intercession. So what happened was Father Solanus Casey, you know, since this guy works at the soup kitchen, he put his hand on the area on his abdomen and prayed over this fire department worker. And guess what? He told the person to go get your tumor checked or your abdomen checked. When they did so, tumor gone, no need for surgery. Now, again, that may not be declared an official miracle to be a cause for sainthood, but this person knew it was real, this author Rutledge and the doctors who cared for him. I bet you, that could be verified. Anyway, what about if you have a tumor in the breast? Do you know any women out there? Maybe you're one of the women listening right now that you have a breast tumor and you're worried, is this cancer? Or maybe you have cancer and after getting chemo, radiation, and even surgery, you've got another tumor. Well, I used to do preoperative examinations before surgery, and I used to do anesthesia. So we have to clear the patient so they can have anesthesia and have the surgery. But anyway, so during the preoperative exam, they found a lump, right? She had a lump. Her name is Gladys Redfern, and this is 1964. And she was going to get surgery to get this tumor removed, or the lumpectomy or the tumor. And they did a preoperative exam similar to what I would do. And they found that, you know, well, why are you here? You're supposed to get surgery on the lump on your breast. And lo and behold, after Father Solanus had prayed through his intercessions, that the lump was gone. No need for surgery. Okay, what about blindness? Was there anything there dealing with blindness? Yes.
Here's a case from 1929 where there's a person, his name is John Regan, and there's others too besides him, William King and others, that this John Regan, he had hot lead that exploded. I don't know what kind of work he was doing, if he was working in a foundry, but it hit his eyes, and he was permanently blinded. But Swanis Casey promised that he would recover. And his vision was totally restored. It was excellent again. Same thing with the Protestant clergyman. His son had was facing eye removal. Okay, in other words, it's called an enucleation. Last time I was on the radio, I was talking about that for enucleation. That this Protestant son's, the Protestant clergyman, his son, the eye was totally cured after prayers and intercessions to Solanus Casey. And that it was on a condition, the condition that he would commit to going to church regularly. So that's one possibility. If your prayers aren't answered, do you go to church regularly? Okay, so that's one reason maybe why prayers aren't answered. So here it was in this particular case, he promised that he would go to church regularly, and that son was healed. Now, what about somebody who has alcoholism? Well, you know, people can get delirium tremens, right? You know, and so what happened when that person in particular had delirium tremens from being an alcoholic? He had a private conversation with Father Solanus Casey, and he promised never to drink again, and he was able to recover totally for his lifetime. Again, so he made a promise, and he never had any of those issues. But some of you would say, well, how is that a miracle? Well, you know how hard it is? Not that I have personal experience, just with the various people that I myself help advise spiritually. I give a lot of spiritual coaching, spiritual advice, you know, and also me being part of the exorcism ministry for many years in the past, that, you know, I've dealt with people who have these issues, and I still, you know, advise people who come and, you know, by word of mouth and need help and advice on what to do. So here, ask Solanus Casey for help. All right, what about this problem with pregnancy? Okay, well, maybe you know somebody, or you're experiencing, or your daughter, your granddaughter, is having multiple miscarriages or stillbirths or not able to get pregnant. Well, here's the story about Father Solanus Casey blessing, you know, a woman by the name of Gladys Fayen, and blessed her and predicted that she would have children. And lo and behold, she had twins, I guess up to make up for time that she had twins now. What about paralysis? Anybody out there that have their legs paralyzed or their arms paralyzed or maybe I can't speak well, you had a stroke? Well, Solanus Casey is one of those saints who helped with a miracle. So, you know, there's cases where a person was either had gangrene, they were going to get amputated, they have really bad diabetes, or they were paralyzed, or they had really bad swelling from what you call lymphedema. Well, this lady, Mrs. Ryan, she gives the account of after many prayers, for the intercession from Solanus Casey, she was totally healed. So, is there a secret of getting healed? Is there some, you know, magic words you have to say? Of course not. It totally depends on God's will, but it also depends on one's faith. But then somebody may say, well, does that mean if I don't get a miracle that I have no faith? Nope, there's other reasons. I'll get into more of that. Let me finish up here with some of these other miracle stories. Now, what about pneumonia, or I talked about cancer. What about seizures or convulsions. Well, again, Father Solanus Casey, you know, the guy who they thought wouldn't preach a good homily or can't hear confessions, the guy that they just restricted to being a doorman. I mean, not to put him down as a doorman, he became a saint that way, all right? All the things, all the jobs out there have honor and respect. Remember, I was a janitor. I used to also pump gas. There was honor in doing honest labor. And I remember when I was working at the Shriners Hospital for Crippled Children, I'm there working as a cast technician, you know, and also a janitor. I'm cleaning up the place, scraping up the plaster from the cast. And I remember one of the workers there was looking down upon me and said to me kind of mockingly as I was on my knees scraping the plaster off the floor, he said, "Is this how you're going to be a doctor?" And I said, "You bet," I told him. I said, "I'm going to work myself from the bottom up." And praise be to Jesus Christ, he helped me learn from the bottom up, from being a janitor, from being a cast technician, nursing's aide, to going through med school residency and anesthesia and then working my way up and so forth. Anyway, but again, here's what Blessed Solanus Casey did. He had reported cures of people who had cancer, leukemia, tuberculosis, diphtheria, arthritis, pneumonia. And it just keeps on going on. And I just gave you like 10 of the different miracles. But then here's a few others, a baby who seemed paralyzed, wasn't apparently crawling or standing on his legs. He was 15 months old. Usually you get to stand up by that time or before that. What happened was the father made a promise to, you know, to pray and to go to mass. And after that prayer, right away, the baby stood up in 1 minute and then walked the very next day. I mean, just bypassed the crawling, just did so. I mean, it may not seem like a miracle, but to that family where their child is not moving at all, having it after praying and asking help to Blessed Solanus Casey, baby stands up within 1 minute after the prayer, going communion and praying, then walks the next day. Well, what about this other lady? She's 38 years old, this lady named Eva St. Hours. She was blind in one eye and nearly blind in the others. Now, I don't know if you all know that, you know, I help the disabled, so I have all this compassion, empathy for those who are disabled. So here's this person who's blind completely in one eye, and the other eye is nearly totally blind. They enroll her, to the Sacred Heart. They make a novena, 9-day prayer. And that same day, her sight is restored 100%. From the total blindness, 100%. So, again, here's another person, a woman who was given 3 days to live. I hate this when doctors start saying things like this. I'm imagining a doctor tells her she has 3 days to live. Nevertheless, she asked Blessed Father Solanus Casey, and she's totally cured of the pneumonia that would have killed her. Now, remember, at the turn of the century, the number one cause of death was pneumonia. So I don't have a date on this, but I'm imagining it's during the turn of the century when this happened. You know, because, again, you know, Solanus Casey was, you know, from the 1800s, and then he died, when was that? I don't have the date right in front of me here. Let me see if I can find that. Okay. So, yeah, he died in 1957. So he was born in 1875, but he died on July 31st. So that would be tomorrow is the actual day of his death. But, you know, today's July 30th, and so they have this is his feast day. It's an optional feast day, an optional memorial for him as far as the day that we honor, you know, Father Solanus. Anyway, going back to this, that the woman had 3 days to live and she was cured of pneumonia. There's other ones I talked about, gangrene, deafness. If any of you have problems with hearing, well, there are several reported recoveries from deafness through, again, Father Solanus Casey. What about memory loss? Are you finding out? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, if you just had, you know, a senior citizen lapse in your memory, you know, but I'm talking about you having Alzheimer's, dementia, or you know somebody that's having this. Well, again, there's many cases that he wrote in this notebook about people having their memories restored. What about a heart attack being recovered from that? Well, same thing. Father Solanus Casey has helped with that. All right. Also, things about strokes, prostate cancer. In 2008, during Christmas, remember, Christmas is very important because that's the day he entered into the seminary, but also the day that he, when he was younger, got that calling to go into the priesthood. So during Christmas season, a person who had liver cancer was totally cured, again, through intercession. Well, what about if it spread to the bones? So you had stage four bone cancer. Well, as a young person, that person was completely healed, and that was testified in 2017. So there's so many of this that I want to make sure that you go look up Father Solanus Casey, okay? Solanus Casey, about a person who was written off as a failure but had 70,000 people attend his own funeral at Ford Field, you know? And so now let me just finish up with particular reasons why your prayers may not be answered, okay? And I want to make sure that when you pray that you have the faith, the fervor, and devotion, because this is puts you in the right position, so to speak. But again, it all really depends on what is God's will, right? So if God's will is saying no, if he says yes, but wait, then you have to accept God's will. You may actually have enough faith. It's just that he doesn't will it for you at this time, but he wants you to maybe carry this cross longer, maybe to the rest of your life. Remember, God the Father allowed his son Jesus to die and to pay for all the sins of the past, present, and future of all humankind. Okay? So God may be telling you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Maybe you're sidetracked with not seeking his kingdom and not being righteous. And he promises in Matthew 6:33 that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Another reason why maybe your prayers aren't answered, again, it's not because you have lack of faith, but also there might be, who knows, but don't blame it on yourself. Well, I thought I had a lot of faith. Again, you might have, but maybe just God's will is not for you at this moment. Or you might actually have the wrong motives, okay? James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive. Why? It goes on. Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So let's say you're saying, Lord, help us from this financial trouble. You know, we're going to go lose our house, lose our car, repossess, bankrupt. You know, I don't have a job. Well, what were you doing beforehand? Were you being irresponsible? And that's why, and he bails you out for some reason. Are you just going to go back to the same routine, which made you lose your house, your job, your car, and so forth? So you really have to take a look inside, which goes to another reason why prayers may not be answered, is because we have unconfessed sin. All right? In Psalm verse 66, it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, in other words, if I loved sin, right, the Lord would not have listened. Okay, Psalm 66, verse 18. here we go, only got a few minutes left. You may also, if you're asking for prayers, you know, look at your own self. Are you in a life of sin? Are you rebellious? Okay? It says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. That's why I highlight, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then guess what? Then all these other things shall be yours as well. So confess your sins. Have good motives. Don't be rebellious. Let's go to another reason why. Are you helping others who need help? Like, you want help, but what about, are you not helping others? In Proverbs chapter 21, it says, he who closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard. So if you see a homeless person, yeah, you might be kind of scared about approaching a homeless person or a beggar on the street. I've learned to go to them, talk to them, ask their name, not necessarily give them money, but I might give them a can of soda or a bottle of water or fruit. I'll give them a prayer card. I'll ask their name and I'll pray with them. That, you know, like Peter and John, they said, I have neither, you know, silver or gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I can pray, right? In the name of Jesus Christ to help this person. So don't close your eyes and ears to those who are unfortunate, and then yet you're going to ask for help? Think about it, all right? What about another reason why the Lord may not answer the prayer the way you want it? Because he has something better for you. Okay? So be hopeful. If he has something better, then you may say, well, what's better than having more money, Dr. Anton? Or what's better than, you know, my life not having this cancer? Well, yeah, being free to cancer and having financial worries taken care of. But what about if you have all of that in the world and you lose your soul? What good is that, right? So he has something better for you. He has peace, love, joy, happiness, the faith and love of God and the hope in him. Maybe your prayers aren't answered if you start doubting him. Like, Lord, I need help with this. I have problems with alcoholism, but can you help me? But you're doubting that God can help you, or you're doubting that the Blessed Mother can pass on the message to Jesus, or you're doubting Solana's case, you can pass it on to Jesus. Well, what does James say? James says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. It's like emotions. Like, you, just because you cry doesn't mean you're going to get what you ask for. Okay? Just because it's not by feelings that things are accomplished. It's by the love and faith and hope in God. The other thing is, maybe your prayers aren't answered because you actually need to grow in more humility. In other words, don't be so proud of things. So, and don't be like a hypocrite in prayer, right? So thinking that I don't need anybody's help, I can just go directly to God. Well, why would God have the saints pray like St. Paul asking others to pray for him? See, if God set it up that we can get help from other people, that then it can go back to him. In fact, the question is, you know, that's why we pray to our Father. Jesus taught us to pray, right? Anyway, brothers and sisters, I'm have to get off the air now. We're at the top of the hour, but I do appreciate you on this program. I'll talk about this next time when I come next week about some reasons why prayers are answered and why they aren't. God bless you. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. God bless you all. Have a good evening.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.